basic kinds of information, such as your Diane Jackson, and where do you live in Brooklyn, New York?
I'm living in the Williamsburg section of Cooper Park houses, which is a predominantly Black and Hispanic low-income housing development.
Would you kindly give us your address, please?
60 Kingsland Avenue.
Kingsland.
Yeah.
How long have you lived in Brooklyn?
I've lived in Brooklyn for about 16 years. I was originally born in Sumter, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I came to New York in 1961, mm-hmm. I believe. And I come from a background where both my mother and father had to work. My father left us in the South as very young children to come to New York looking for work. My mother then left us to come to New York to join my father. And then we later on, me and I'm a family of nine. I have four other sisters and four brothers. And now we're all in New York except one.
How did you all make the transition from having had your parents leave the children in Sumter, South Carolina? And then when did the children come up?
I have an older sister there. In the absence of my parents, my older sister, you know, was the one that we stayed with. And since my mother passed away 2 years ago, I guess I've reverted back to that my older sister now I look up to as more of a mother image.
How old are you?
I'm 28 years old.
And how many children do you have?
I have two children, a son, Jerron, that's 8 years old, and my daughter, Sharondria, is 3 years old.
What's her name?
Sharondria.
That's a beautiful name.
Thank you. Where did
you get it?
My husband. Both of my kids are named in honor of my husband, whose name is Ronald, and my son, Jerron, and Sharondria. I guess I got the Ron.
What does Ronald do?
To tell you the truth, I don't know right now.
You've separated or divorced from him?
No, we're not divorced. We're just separated.
Mm-hmm. What led to your interest in the women's movement? Did you have a particular experience that turned you on to it, or was it a whole series of things?
I just felt that although I'm a product of the civil rights movement, I found the women's movement to be very, very supportive. And since they were like looking for support from women to really pull the whole thing of importance and equality for women, it encompassed women of all different ethnicities and all different races, classes, as well as economic standards. And I felt really comfortable there, and I felt that the support that I was receiving from other women that didn't look at me as a Black woman or a young woman or an older woman or whatever. I really felt comfortable with the women's situation, that women's movement. There are some things in the women's movement that I can't say am against. I guess since I'm just new in the women's movement for the last 2 years, maybe I just don't understand them quite fully yet. But so far, the only exposure that I can really say I appreciated with the women's movement is that it's, for one thing, a movement that has encompassed women as a whole. For a long time, I felt that the women's movement, I used to say, as well as a lot of my Black sisters, that the women's movement is not for Black women. We've been liberated all our lives. We've always had a work. We've always had control over our own lives. And I feel basically now that when I look back at some of the things that I wasn't aware of, now that I was always the one in my home that had to do everything, that I was always the one in my home that had to wait on my husband and wait on my family. And I felt that since this was a shared situation, I mean, marriage is supposed to be some sort of an agreement between two people for the rest of your life, that you would share and honor each other. That when I look at the situation through the awareness given to me by the women's movement, that it wasn't there at all, I found that I was the one that was responsible for things. Whenever we went out, it was always me that had to make sure that we had a babysitter, and it was always me that was cooking the dinners, me that was cleaning the house, and me that was doing everything. And I think that the women's movement really made me aware that this is supposed to be, if you are married, that this is supposed to be a shared situation, that all the responsibility shouldn't be put on a woman alone. And I really appreciate that.
Are you alone now with your two children?
No, I have two. My younger brother's still living with me. 123 and 124. And I guess it all reverts back to the way that since our struggle with moving from the South and living with my sister while my mother moved away, my mother passed away 2 years ago. And at that point, my marriage was really on the rocks. It was shaking and breaking. And at that point, I decided that that's when I would leave my husband and move in with my brothers.
So you moved in with them. They didn't move in with you.
No, I moved in with them.
I wonder if now with the situation where you're living with two younger brothers and you have two children, are you, on a day-to-day basis, are you still pretty much in the same position that you were 5 years ago when you were married, doing the laundry, picking up the socks, cooking the dinners?
Not at all. And the interesting thing is that when I talk to my brothers about such thing as wages for housework, they're always telling me if there were wages for housework, you wouldn't get a dime because you don't do any. One of my brothers is a college student, and one stays at home and takes care of the kids for me, and he cooks and helps, you know, clean up and everything.
What do you do during the day?
I'm a community organizer for the Cooper Park Tennis Association, which is the governing body of the housing development that I live in, and I work with the tenants having housing complaints. Youth, senior citizens, just about everything.
Mm-hmm. Why did you attend the Battered Wives workshop here at the conference?
Because before the separation of me and my husband, I'd undergone a lot of battering, an awful lot of battering, and felt that there was no way out for me. There was no place else to go. I didn't want to depend on my family too much more than I had. And I lived in a very bad conditions for 2 years as a battered wife. Since that time, I've removed myself from that situation through support from women's groups, support from other battered women. And I think that that really made the turning point in my life, that the fact that now I'm damn near a free woman, and because of my involvement with this group that had connections and introduced me to other groups, that I in a sense feel that I owe a lot, and I want to support the whole issue of battered women and with anything that I could do. And I felt that I had to be here to support it, as for the, and then also the fact that my friend Rosemary is doing this, facilitating the workshop.
Could you describe for us some of the conditions that you lived under for those 2 years?
I didn't have a job. I had just had a newborn baby. I couldn't go out for a job, although I had a skill type, and that was all that I knew how to do. But it was hard for me to find a babysitter. I had just moved in a new neighborhood that I knew nothing about. I didn't have my own money, and I felt that there was no other way for me to, I just couldn't go anywhere. But through those 2 years, when I say battering, I mean things that, when my husband had a problem, he drank a lot. And there were times when he'd come in, you know, in the middle of the night, and the baby would be crying, and he'd say, can't you shut this child up? And if I can't make the baby shut up, I'd be pushed around. And if I didn't have any money, if it came home and there wasn't food cooked, which I didn't have the money to buy food anyway, that resulted in a fight. And sometimes I was just woken up in the middle of the night, you know, been kicked out of bed or pushed out of bed for absolutely no reason at all. And there's been times when I've tried to call for help and my telephone has been ripped out of the wall. And up until this day, I say thank God for neighbors who heard me screaming and yelling that called the police in.
Mm. Were the police helpful, or did they take the side of your husband?
Well, sometimes they took him out, and to give an example of how helpful they are, they took him out and they took him for a walk around the block, and he came in and beat the hell out of me even more for even calling the police. And there were times when he came in and I told the police that I wanted him arrested, and they told me that they couldn't arrest him, and he would come out with the lease in his name and told them that this was his house and he wanted them out of there. And they would leave me in a screaming situation, please don't leave, please don't leave. And the first question was always, what did you do, you know, to provoke all of this? And I really had a bad deal with the police, a very bad experience with the police, as well as the courts.
Did you ever have any female policemen come?
Never. Never. I've never had a female.
Were they all white policemen, or were some of them black?
No, some of them were black. They weren't all white, but I mean the. And my husband even told me before, if the police comes, you know they're not going to do anything because it's happened so many times when they came and didn't do anything. And he would say things like, if they come, you know they're only going to take me out of here for a few minutes.
You said what? Sorry?
If the police come, you know they're not going to do anything. And you better be prepared for what you're going to get when I come back. So that often scared me to even call the police. I wouldn't even call the police sometimes. But I just knew that it was just no sense at all.
What kind of help did you try to get from the courts?
Well, I went to the courts. I wanted to, what I thought would a peace warrant, but then I found out later was an order of protection. I had heard one woman, my neighbor, I guess got tired of hearing screamers, and one day I was at the mailbox getting mail out of the box, and she said to me last night that, you know, she called me over, and I felt really ashamed, but I knew I had a black eye, and I was trying to, like, rush upstairs quick before I didn't want anybody to see me, and she just came over and cornered me, and she said, you know, I think that you should go down to family court and try to get an order of protection. And she explained to me what an order of protection and everything was, that I could have my husband removed from the house with it, that I could demand the police to arrest him with it. And when I went down, she gave me the information of where to go and everything. When I went down for it, it was complete running around. At that time, I didn't know that it was my right to get that order of protection that very same day that I was there. And I had a big runaround, you know, before I got it. But I did get it. By that time, I was, this woman, I don't remember her name, she was a foreign woman, and we became friends, you know, so to speak. She even kept my small kids while I went down to try to find out about borders and protections and things like that.
What was it, how were you able to eventually seek the separation? What helped you get over the fear of your husband?
The biggest thing is that, I guess, for a long time, I lived through it. But it wasn't a thing where it happened every day or every night. There were some times when things went on just beautifully for 4 or 5 months. And then there was a time whenever he had problems on his job or laid off or just wasn't feeling right. That's when most of the time that it occurred. But during those times when, you know, when things were going okay, I felt that, well, I can forgive him. He won't do it again. Mm-hmm. I always felt that once it went over 2 months, that it wasn't going to happen again, that was it. And I just, I really forgot what you asked me now.
About how you were able to lose the fear of leaving him and getting out of the house. What led to the separation?
Just about that. That was the time that I had moved. You know, I didn't confront him about anything about my going to live with my brothers. I thought about it for a long time. I talked to friends about it that told me, you know, you really have to make this decision on your own. I mean, it's a big step. I can't tell a woman that she should leave her husband to go live with her brothers. That's not what I wanted to hear from them, because most of my friends did know the situation that I was going through. A lot of them were even afraid to, you know, visit me, you know, in my apartment because of my husband. But finally, after I moved in my mother's apartment, which is now my apartment with my brothers, the relationship between him and my family was not a great one because they knew what I was going through. But yet, I wouldn't let my family interfere. There was times when my brothers wanted to just beat him up, and I protected him. I would let my brothers, you know, beat him up. So I knew that he wasn't going to come to live, you know, in the apartment with my brothers. And at that point, it was when I became aware of the National Congress of Neighborhood Women, who was starting at that time a college program. And I wanted to get, you know, I always wanted to go back to school. And I got involved in the college program. And one day I was just sitting in the classroom, and a woman by the name of Donna Harkavy, she came in and asked if anybody wanted to do a show or work with a group that was trying to get a battered woman's shelter. And right away, I was kind of reluctant. I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to expose myself as a as a bad wife in the classroom. And then during the break, we went in the hallway, and I heard another woman saying about, talking about bad women who went over, and I learned that she was also a bad woman. Her name is Diane Taurasi. But she's an Irish woman from New York, and now we're very good friends mm-hmm. from that incident. Mm-hmm. We signed up to be a part of this little committee to work with battered women, which grew as now the Center for the Elimination of Violence in the Family. We became board members with and planning to open the shelter. And I started being interviewed by press. I did TV shows and everything, you know, through that.
And the center is called what?
The Center for the Elimination of Violence in the Family.
And you're still on the board of directors of that?
Yes. I'm the vice chair of the board of directors, and I also volunteer.
What do you feel that the center has accomplished?
The center has accomplished a great deal in the fact that there is a place where women can go, that they don't have to, you know, remain in a situation. It also it provides counseling, legal counseling, help with Medicaid, with welfare, with everything, so that a woman feels that she has another alternative, that she doesn't have to live in a situation that I did. Mm-hmm. I just wish that a center of that nature was around while I was going through my crisis.
Have you learned anything here at the conference that you think you'll be able to take back with you? Either anything new about operating such centers that you'll implement?
Well, I guess it's now been about 2.5 years that I've been working with on the level of planning how to run shelters and open shelters and things like that. I guess the only thing that I can learn here is that I did learn that I didn't already know before is that there is a strong interest in the issue of battered women now, and there are a lot of groups that are planning to open shelters. And I think that shelters are only band-aids to the real problem of battery. I think that shelter only provides a space, but it's really a whole, it's just like a band-aid. And what we're trying to do, we are the Center of Elimination of Violence in the Family, and I just like to see the whole bit of violence in families eliminated. However, we don't have any control over that, but I hope through our work and through publicity of our work that battered women that are living in situations could come out, you know, even give us a call on a hotline or something like that.
I have one very dear friend who's a battered woman, and one of the problems that she has, and I wonder if you've run across this in connection with the center, is a tremendous amount of guilt, personal guilt. She feels
one of the she's reasons a failure.
No,
one
of the
wife,
reasons
that was one of my feelings.
Well, perhaps that's part of it. That one of the reasons that he beats her is because she promotes it. She somehow eggs him on. And she said that she's very good with her tongue, very, very articulate. And when she argues, she's a much better arguer than he is. He's a much better fighter, though, physically, than she is.
Sounds like my own situation. The same thing. I feel that, well, women have always been known as a woman that women talk so much. And I think because we do talk so much, we are much better talkers than men. And I think that a lot of men can't accept defeat from a woman, even if it is in the form of words. And I found that in my own situation with my husband, where we were arguing over little things and he saw that there was no chance for him to win, that's when I'd get smacked or pushed or something like that.
And did that make you feel guilty, as though you had really egged him on and caused him to hit you? Or do you run into that with women who come to the center?
Sometimes I felt that you asked for this, you know, in a way. Had you shut up and not said anything, he would have never hit you. But at that, just that feeling inside of me that said, you know, you must stand up and fight for yourself sometime. I mean, if I feel that I'm right, then I'll be damned if I won't take an ass kicking to stand up for my right. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that it must have dawned on him some way that, well, she was right. And I've often felt that he felt sorry later that he did hit me. But I used to think that after looking at my face in the mirror and having to hide in the house for 2 or 3 days, there were times when I used to say, well, I wish I hadn't said that, and now I would have been able to go out and, you know, things like that. But it's just something that I guess it's just a part of me as a Libra woman. I just I just couldn't sit there and just take that. You know, I had to say, well, even if he is going to beat me up, I'm going to say what I feel is right. And I said it.
Getting back to the broader issue of the women's movement, do you feel the women's movement is undermining rights for blacks as a whole?
Well, when you look at the percentage, I mean, when I even look at the population of the women delegates here at this conference, I noticed that the majority of the women are white women. And I know that amongst black women, a lot of them feel that the women's movement cannot influence their lives in any way, because they look at it as an issue of around employment, around education, that these are middle-class white women that are just bored with their lives and want to do something. And what I'd like black women to realize is that the women's movement has a lot, much more to offer than just equal opportunities and equal, not equal opportunities, equal pay for equal work. I mean, that's not the whole thing that it's all about. And I think that a lot of women realize that now, that black women are beginning to realize that.
That there's something really in it for them, too.
That there is something in it for them, definitely.
Do you think black men are particularly threatened by the women's movement, more so than, say, white men, or just about equally?
I don't think so. I know, well, I'm often called what do they call me on my job? The black men on my job often call me a female chauvinist pig. And like, for instance, there was the suggestion box up on the wall in my office for any suggestions of how to improve programming. And one day, it was my turn to take out the suggestions and write up a report on the suggestions. And I found four reports that suggestions that we get rid of all female chauvinist pigs on the staff. And when I found out that they all came from the four men that are on our staff, I don't think that they're threatened by it at all.
Is it just a joke?
It's a joke, but I don't think that's threatened by them at all. Because if you look at the standards, even the employment standards for the women and male population, it's white male, white woman, black woman.
Mm-hmm. Among the issues that the delegates are voting on, and you are one of New York's delegates, is that right?
Yes.
Are there any issues that you're particularly interested in and others that you just sort of don't care too much about?
The one major issue that I came here to hopefully see pass was the Equal Rights Amendment, and that passed yesterday. The battered women's issue, although I would have liked to see an amendment to that resolution that through these hopefully government-funded programs, that there would be some kind of follow-up, you know, as to the resolutions. Another issue that I'm really concerned about is the minority women, and I speak on behalf of black women as well as Asian American, Indian American, Latins, Chicanos, as all women, rural women that are living in areas that are completely isolated from the action, so to speak, and the sexual preference. I think that it's the individual's rights to choose their own sex, their own preferences as to what they want to be. And I'd like to see that pass. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Really,
sexual preference now, but
not yet.
This conference
just finished with minority.
Minority? What happened?
Ma'am?
Hello? Can you tell me what happened, minority? All right. Was there any amendments? The substitute is passed. Oh, I worked all night on that, on the substitute amendment. Well, it was really kind of vague, the resolution that they had hoped passed for, but only I don't know which substitute that they went for. We felt that I work with the Black Caucus, and we felt that because of the splits among the Black Caucus, that we couldn't push our issue over as just a pro-Black thing. So we decided one of our strategies were that we meet with other delegations, with other caucuses, with other minority women caucuses, and try to come up with our own resolutions and then incorporate them all together and pass a resolution, minority women. But the one problem that I had was that although I am concerned about other minority women, that the black woman's need is not the same as the American Indian woman, it's not the same as the Asian American woman, and that if this resolution did not pass, then how on earth was it a package plan? But I'm happy that it did pass. I'd like to get back to see what it is now. Did I just have a quick call? I'm sitting on it. Offenders, that'll pass quick. Over.